Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. You're so worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oro mashate da satanda satan. E keriaso mashatanda su. Holy Spirit, come into this place this morning and make Jesus big in our midst, Lord. Make Jesus big in this place this morning, Lord, that our eyes would be open to your majesty and your glory. Come, Lord, among your people and show your might and your power. And let us worship you in the beauty of holiness. We look to you this morning, Lord. We come and we look to you to glorify your name, to receive at your hand. That you would have for us, Father, that you would come and cleanse your church and conform us into your very image this morning, Lord. We are a needy people, but you are a great God, and you are a God that's able, hallelujah, and a God that's willing. And so we receive at your hands this morning all that you have for us, that you might be exalted. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, of course, Jesus on his great teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, makes a couple of statements as he introduces the kingdom of God. We've been on a 10-session study of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to deviate a little bit this morning, but of course it'll continue to deal with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in us, the power that each one of us should receive at that time of our baptism. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen? So we've been talking about how to become effective witnesses for the kingdom of God, not only in word, but in power. We saw that as the disciples ministered that power, that anointing in the name of Jesus at the temple, and the lame man was healed and began to leap and to jump and to praise God, the scripture says, and they could not deny that a notable miracle had been done. Two great things that took place there that we need to learn if we're going to effectively move in the power of the Holy Spirit, or to effectively carry on the ministry of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the things that I did shall you do. Amen? And greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now we know that it's greater not in the magnitude of what was done, but greater in the quantity, not the quality. Because Jesus was one man, and we, the church, are multitudes. The scripture says of Jesus, if everything that he had done had been recorded, John's gospel, even the world itself could not contain those. Amen? Then what should we, the multitude, be doing? If Jesus did enough that would fill the whole world with testimony, what should we, the multitude, the church, be doing in our generation? Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. We need to be shalling. Amen? We need to be out about the Father's business. We need to be moving in that power, that unction of the Holy Spirit that's living in us. And just as We heard this morning the reading from John 17, just as unity will cause the world to look in, and I love what's the truth that's revealed there. The scripture says that people will look from the outside and look upon us and see the love that we have for one another. And they'll know that He's here in our midst. Amen? He says in that John 17 passage, though, a little different statement. He says, they will know that I've been sent from the Father. Powerful. The deity of Christ is known by our unity, by our oneness. The love of God is known by our love one for another. And as we talk this morning a little bit about that faith that's necessary to carry on this ministry or the ministry of the kingdom in power, we do know one thing, that faith works by love. Amen? And so we've been talking about that environment and how we would love one another, and that love is a love that transcends just our interpersonal relationships. This is a fellowship of which we truly love one another. We've had it said over and over and over again, people that have been here in your midst, and one of the testimonies is, man, these people love God, but what a love for one another. Well, the scripture says, how can you love him who you've not seen if you can't love your brother who you have? Amen? And so we see that as that love continues to grow in us, there's going to be a greater access and expression also of the power of God, of the proper representation of Jesus in our lives. And so as the Lord has called us and He's preparing us and He brings His disciples together and begins to expound on the kingdom of God here in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we want to draw from the truths that He's speaking here concerning the kingdom of God. He goes on in this teaching and He says that we're to be seekers first of the kingdom. Amen? Seekers first of the kingdom. Don't get distracted by the world. Don't get all caught up in the cares of this world. Don't get into bondage over fearing what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or with your clothing, what you're going to put on. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Hallelujah. And so He already knows. And He says they will be added to us. To what degree will they be added? Well, one thing that has to do with that is Paul speaks very clearly, if you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. Amen? If we give of our lives, if we prefer others, if we're going to minister to the body and the needs that are around us, give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, praise God. Now that giving is not just financial, that giving is our time, our talents, our giving of the offering up of all of our preferences in life and become seekers truly first of the kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at that power of the kingdom this morning. Jesus starts off in chapter 5 and He says this in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Come and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly. And He said, I'll give you some rest for your spirit, praise God, for your hearts. Come and learn of me in my meekness. Meekness, the meekness of spirit, is just really submission, total submission of our lives over to God. Meekness is a life of faith to where we have total trust and reliance in God's word, His promises, that every promise of God in Christ Jesus is yea and amen. That His word is sure to 1,000 generations. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. Praise God. Meekness is a life based on the word of God. Trust in God, not in yourself. You see, the haughty spirit is when we become self-reliant. It's not just that we're braggadocious or that we're people that you know, like to go around vaunting ourselves or whatever. Pride has to do with a self-reliance, putting too great of a worth on ourself, too little value on God. And so when we find this, he says to the meek man, the man that puts God first, the God that values God properly, to that man belongs the kingdom of heaven. He goes down into verse 10 and makes another comment. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew likes to use the phrase kingdom of heaven, the others kingdom of God. And we see here then that there's a place that belongs to those who will be bold in their representation. As we go on into this teaching, you'll begin to see it, that He speaks toward those of us that are willing to be persecuted, that know the price of living in this kingdom and seeking this kingdom first. He goes on in the teaching and he tells us, makes it very clear, you know, that there's going to be a persecution that comes and we're going to be hated of everybody for His name's sake. And He commands us to walk in the wisdom of God and allow ourselves to realize that as we're representing this kingdom, that we're going to have spoken against us all manner of evil. And He said, count it all joy. Rejoice in these things that you're worthy to suffer for His name. Amen? And so as Jesus is introducing us to this new kingdom, the kingdom of God is in direct opposition to everything the flesh loves, to everything the flesh exalts, to all of the methods of the world. The kingdom of God is in direct opposition to that. You want to be great? Be least. Amen? You want to be wise and you want to be a person that moves in maturity and in power and authority? Then become as a little child. You know, that's one thing that sticks out to me about the disciples, about some of these great men of faith that we've been talking about. Their faith was just childlike, wasn't it? You know, we scratch our heads and we go, man, you know, really? You know, we talked about the great men like John G. Lake and some of those and the days where God was moving in their lives. And how many of you would just, without any money, go stand in line and be in line just walking up to this person, and you know you're the next guy up and he's going to ask you, okay, where's the money? And you don't have it yet. How many of you would stay in line? How many of us, as we heard the utterance today, are moved by circumstances? How many of us are moved by fears? How many of us are moved by logic? How many of us are moved by worldly psychology instead of the promises of God? He said, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. Amen? And so we see then, if we're going to be citizens of the kingdom, we're going to be men and women of faith. Jesus said in Luke, He said, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? And we've asked ourselves that question. Beloved, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When I come, will I find a people believing me? When I come, will I find my church? And tragically, some of the weakest in the world within His church are in America. And we've traveled the world and literally around the world preaching the gospel. And we've seen the mighty hand of God. And the scripture says that in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away because the love of many is going to wax cold. Isn't that what Matthew 24 tells us? And not only a love for the world from the material perspective, but a love of the world that boasts in its intellect, in its ability to reason, in its worldly wisdom. And we hear it said many times. Now, you know, we need to be wise about this. We need to use a little wisdom here. And of course, we see that God does it differently than man. Wisdom would have been for the Hebrew children to have partaken of all of the king's dainties, all of his great nutritional values that were there that made his people strong and wise. And, you know, you need to take supplements and you need to eat the proper amount of this and the proper amount of that. And we see today that this is the wisdom that's given to us. I'm not against, you know, proper eating by any stretch of the means. That's not what I'm talking about. Ice cream, it's good. Protein, praise God. But they said, no, we're not going to do it your way. Amen? We're going to eat God's food. Well, what is God's food? Jesus tells us, I have meat to eat that you know not of, to do the will of my Father and to finish the work. Amen? That's all we need to eat. That's all we need to eat. I found your word and I ate it, praise God, and it became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Don't need anything else. Oh, we need to come back to hearing the word of God clearly in our spirit, not just in our minds. We don't need more knowledge. We need more obedience. We're not even close to doing what we know. So knowing more is a waste. Help us to move back into that childlike faith. To move back into that relationship with the Lord that goes out in absolute confidence, knowing who it is that we serve. And that our God can do all things. All things are possible to he that believeth. Amen? The question, is anything too hard for the Lord? So it doesn't matter what we're facing today. It's not too hard for the Lord. Amen? Our faith, the scripture says, is the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, dear God, how we need to treasure our faith, how we need to seek greater faith in our lives. That faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That faith that has an audience with God that we've spoken about so often. Not are we getting into our prayer closets, are we meeting with God? Amen? He said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. But the requirement is, faith has to have an audience with God. We spent hours and hours and hours teaching on that subject, so I won't go back over it. But that hearing, it's not just audio perception. It's not just having somebody speak to us. It's not just reading the Word of God. That word hearing means an audience. It means that we stand before God and have that appearance before the throne of Almighty God. And He declares to us His will, His Word in this particular situation that we're in. That distinction between logos word and rhema word. A specific word spoken for a specific incident. A momentary statement right now as God would speak to us and faith begin to arise in our hearts. Oh, would to God, like Peter, the simplicity of being able to respond to just one word, come. Amen? Do you notice how Jesus shortened it down? He started off with follow me and then He got it down to one word, come. He just needs obedience. He needs you to get out of the boat. Let me tell you something. No matter how long you study the Word of God, matter how long you're going to serve God, I don't care if you've been faithful for 60 years, I want to tell you something, you will never be capable of walking on water. Amen? You can quote all the scripture you want, you can't walk on water. You can pray all the hours you want, you can't walk on water until Jesus says, come, praise God. What has He called us to that we're not doing? What were the opportunities this last week that we had to share the gospel with somebody and we didn't do it? What about the opportunities to believe Him for healing, but we ran to the medicine cabinet? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medicine. I'm saying there's something wrong with not seeking God first. Amen? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you, praise God. Oh, beloved, this kingdom that we've been called to, and let me remind you, the Lord said very clearly, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, when we say kingdom, what are we talking about? We're talking about the rule, the reign of King Jesus, amen? And all that's under His auspices. This world has its own God, Corinthians tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world, Satan, blinds the eyes of men lest they should believe the light of the glorious gospel. But let me remind you that Jesus rules over all. Amen? Amen? And let me remind you that in His great victory over Satan, as He rose from the dead, came forth triumphant, the Apostle Paul says. Leading captivity captive. He made a show of Satan openly and triumphed over him. Amen? Amen? And then He turns around and says, and I give you power and authority over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you, praise God. Now get out about my business and stop being afraid of the threats of the devil and stop fearing men's faces. And stop worrying about your reputation. Don't fear what men can do to you, those that can kill the body, but fear God who can kill body and cast soul into hell. Oh, beloved, we need to understand this conflict that's going on around us daily. We do not war against principalities and powers. We war against principalities and powers, not flesh and blood. Against these rulers and authorities and wickedness in high places. Do you understand what it is that's opposing you? Do you understand where all those fiery darts are coming for? All those evil thoughts, all of those lusts, all of those desires for this world instead of the kingdom for which Jesus purchased you? Do you understand the motive of Satan? Satan doesn't care about you. He wants to bring reproach on God. If he can get one soul, it satisfies him that he's broken the heart of God. Because God's not willing that one perish. Amen? You see, our love for the lost works in direct correlation to our hatred for sin and Satan and his kingdom. We're in a war. We're in a war. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're at a war. Our weapons are the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Our weapons are the name of Jesus. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall heal the sick. Praise God. Ambassadors for the kingdom of God. My kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. They would use earthly means. Don't be all caught up in the world's activities. Jesus spoke to those that heard him on that day and he said, listen, I want to tell you something. There's some of you that are standing here listening to me right now that will not taste death until you've seen the kingdom come in power. And they did on Pentecost. Amen? So when we talk about seeking the kingdom, we're talking about seeking Pentecost. We're talking about the establishing of the church. That's what happened on Pentecost. The birth of the church. The empowering of the church. The transfer of power and responsibility to the church to do the things that I've done and greater things. We got a job to do. And we're equipped. How are we doing? How are we doing with casting out devils? Hey, let me tell you, I've been to Haiti. I've been to Africa. I've been to India. Those are some pretty demonic places. And I've been to Sterling. And it's just as bad here. The demons just dress differently, drive different cars. Have educations. But every fallen angel, every demonic spirit lives for one thing, and that's to mock Jesus. To defy Jesus. They understand. They cried out. When Jesus just approached them, they cried out, why have you come to torment us against before our time? I want to tell you something. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have people hating us for no reason. It's those demons in them. And we torment them. Just walking in their midst torments them. I've only had it happen one time in 50 years. But I remember walking up on this one demon-possessed guy, and that demon spoke out of that person and said, I know who you are. And I said, I know who you are too. Come out in the name of Jesus. all beloved. Do you understand who we are? Do you understand who you are this morning? If we're the head and not the tail, let's go begin to act like it. Amen? If we're above only and not beneath, then let's go begin to act like it. If we can tread on serpents and scorpions, then let's go out in the name of Jesus and see people set free and healed, praise God, and born again into the kingdom of God. Make it your food. Make it what you live for. Dear God, we need to be as excited waking up in the morning and getting to go to work to preach Jesus as we are about going on vacation, going on the fishing trip, or whatever it is that we like to do. What excites you? For me to live is Christ, Paul said. Now, I've spoken a lot of words already. And basically all I'm saying is, seek the kingdom. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. What kind of an effort are we making? Where is the boldness to step out of the boat? Do they try to quiet you at work? I want you to know it's going to get worse and worse. I was just watching a couple of documentaries, and one on the rapture of the church and the other on Charles Spurgeon last night, just resting my mind a little bit, and thought it was interesting on the rapture of the church. It said 40%+ of all Americans believe in the rapture. Does anybody believe that? The devils believe. Amen. It's not about believing, it's about obeying. If you believe in the rapture, I'll tell you what the results of that will be. Number one, 1 John says, if you believe in the rapture, every man that has that hope in him will purify himself even as he is pure. Are 40% of all Americans walking in supernatural holiness, separation from the world? A love of God, preachers of the Word of God, lovers of the Word of God, lovers of prayer, lovers of souls, servants' hearts, preferring one another. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way. In the last days, it'll be as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said. In the last days, it'll be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the last days, many shall rise up in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. In the last days, many false prophets doing signs and wonders, deceiving many. So that if it were not shortened, even the very elect would not be able to stand. That day's coming. It's right around the corner. Those days, as you read those passages in Matthew 24, and we begin to see some of those things that are discernible, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here for the tribulation. Praise God for that. Amen. Well, I don't know. I think there's some signs that point to mid-tribulation. Then stick around. I'm going to be gone. Praise God. You can stay if you want, but according to your faith, it'll be unto you. There's a whole lot more scripture that shows the pre-tribulation rapture than mid-tribulation. Post-tribulation didn't even be talked about. Now, if those things that can be known and observed are beginning, then truly the rapture is imminent. Amen? Are we living like that? Are we living like we will stand before the bema judgment of God at any moment? Are we living like in a heartbeat we will stand and answer for every idle word that we've spoken? Are we living like the apostle declares we're to love as we've been loved? We're to forgive as we've been forgiven? To be great, be least? Oh, thank God we have that promise that He's purifying His church. He's making His bride ready. Amen? Any of you been feeling that purification taking place over these last years? Are you different than you used to be? Are you more like Him, praise God? Is there a greater passion for Him, for His Word, for His kingdom? Because see, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to press in, or you're going to fall away. I would that you be hot or cold. Jesus doesn't deal well with lukewarmness, does He? He spits it out of His mouth. So I doubt that there's 140 million Americans that believe in the rapture of the church. I haven't heard anybody talk about it for years that I've just run into. Oh, I've shared with others, and they're like, really? Christians. They say they're Christians. They say they're believers. I'm not doubting where they are at that moment, but I'll tell you one thing. They don't have any clue about the fact that Jesus is coming back for His church at any moment. You see, our ministry is not just for the lost. We need to be broken and just broken over lost souls. We need to be praying the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into His harvest. We're headed over to that chapter. I thought we would have been there by now, but about Jesus sending His disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But prior to that dispersing them is that admonition that He gives us to be moved with compassion and pray the Lord of the harvest. Have we been doing that? Have you been doing that lately? Has that been a real prominent part of your prayer and intercession? Lord, send forth laborers. You cannot get in the presence of God and pray that prayer without finishing that session of God and saying, here am I, send me. Amen? Lord, I want to be used of You. I want to go forth as a powerful witness. I want my witness to be the unity of the body of Christ. I want my witness to be the love for one another. I want my witness to be that that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8, is alive in me and making alive my mortal body. I'm no longer under the bondage and lust of the flesh. I want that ministry to be, that ministry of power of Acts 1:8. I want that ministry to be to stand with the authority that He's given us in His name and to heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead. So that they cannot deny that a notable miracle's been done. Oh, there's no question about the power of God and the presence of God. The only issue now is you just won't bow your knee. As we begin to move in the power and the authority that's available to us, one thing we need to be conscious of at all times. We first of all need to be conscious of who we are and the authority that's been given to us. Amen. I give you all authority. Do you understand what that means? It means when the head of the church speaks to us and commissions us that we have delegated to us the power and the authority of the resurrected Christ in His name to do whatever it is that He's commissioned us to do. Based on relationship. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. Oh, there's no magic in that name of Jesus. The seven sons of Sceva, they thought there was something about that name, and they came into that demon-possessed man and said, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out." And that demon spoke great theology. That demon spoke out of him and said, "I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who are you?" Do you know who you are this morning? We're ambassadors of Christ. That's who we are. Amen. We're sons of God. That's who we are. Amen. We're heirs and joint heirs. That's who we are. We're the body of Christ. That's who we are. This authority is real. Satan recognizes it. I wish the church did. And so as we're seeking this kingdom, oh dear God, we have all of the doctrine, we can quote all the scriptures, but let me tell you what the Holy Spirit said through the apostle. He said, the kingdom is not in word, it's in power. Amen? It's not knowing the right words. It's not having the right answers for people. Amen. Let me go give you the right answer. I don't need the right answer. I need this devil cast out. I need somebody to look at me and say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Praise God. Now just prior to that, they made this statement, look on us. Now you know the problem is many people that begin to be used by God stop there. And they begin to see signs and wonders. And we know this from experience. And we see today in many lives that there are still those that are look on us, and we see the the newsletters and all of the different promotion of the men and the self. The look on us has to always be followed with, why look on us? As though by our own power or our own holiness and righteousness we've done this. You know one thing very sure. It's that Jesus who you crucified, who God has raised from the dead. It's His name and faith in His name that makes that man stand before you whole. Praise God. Amen? But you got to have the look on us to start with. You got to know who you are. And so we'll close with where we were going to start, over at Matthew 9. And as Jesus in Matthew 9 is performing all these great miracles, the palsy man healed, and we see then the great working of the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. We see the two blind men healed. We see the woman with the issue of blood set free. And then verse 35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See, that's what we're going to be talking about here for a few sessions. The gospel of the kingdom. This is what you and I are to be preaching. The good news of the kingdom. That the kingdom is here in power today. That what Jesus came to do is finished. Amen? Amen. He declared, it is finished. I've broken Satan's power. I've broken the power of sin. It's finished. I came and lived a sinless life. I was offered up a sinless sacrifice. My death appeased the Heavenly Father. I went into the depths and led captivity captive. I've been raised again from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. I've ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. I'm ever living to make intercession for you. At the day appointed that only the Father knows, I will come with a trumpet's blast, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those who remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And we'll be caught up into the air, and we'll see Him, and we'll be like Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the kingdom. But as we're waiting for that trumpet to sound, we've been given authority. We now rule in His stead. We're here to set captives free. And though the God of this world is blinding eyes, we're here to open eyes. And we open them by preaching that gospel that I just shared with you. That there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. We preach that gospel. We go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. And He said, I'll confirm the word that you speak with signs following. Go. Go into all the world. Go into the highways and the byways. Every day of our life should not be taken up with how we're going to get sustenance. And our little plans for the future. And I'm doing this for my kids. If you want to do something for your kids, teach them how to move in the power and authority of the name of Jesus. Teach them how to put the kingdom of God first and not education. Teach them how to put the kingdom of God first and not all the material things. Teach them that the inheritance you're going to leave them is the inheritance of becoming sons of God. Seek first the kingdom. Man, it's more than just a little prayer, isn't it? And when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. First on the list. Amen. When we're praying that, we're saying, here am I, Lord, send me. When we're praying thy kingdom come, we're saying, I'm going to go out and cast out devils. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You think that's only for preachers? Hey, Mark 16 is not limited to preachers. Amen? These signs shall follow the preachers. That's not what it says. These signs shall follow them that have been to seminary. These signs shall follow them that have memorized the New Testament. These signs shall follow them that pray 8 hours a day. Those things are all good. I'd advise doing it. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Little children can believe. Little children can believe. That rapture thing tried to put the age of accountability at 15. Or they came up with that one, I don't know. But anyway. Now we know adolescents are brain dead, but you have to let the word speak. Even a child is known by his doing, the scripture says. Amen? Just let the word speak. They need the gospel. They need to see somebody living it. They need to see somebody ready to die for it. They need to see somebody that gives it the honor that it deserves in our society today. Father, we ask that you would come and touch our hearts and challenge us with your word. Holy Spirit of God, we ask that you would rise up in us and pray through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Pray for us that we could be edified, that we would be strengthened, that we would come to understand our ambassadorship, who we are. Let our lives be given solely over to you, Lord. So many coming from around the world to live the American dream. Let us live the kingdom dream. We want insurance and assurance. And you said, take no thought for tomorrow. We want preeminence and dominance. And you said, the greatest will be servant. We want and want and want more and take. And you said, give and it shall be given unto you. We sacrifice and make every way available to keep the family unit together. And you said if we don't love you more than mothers and fathers and houses and lands and wives and children, we're not worthy of you. Lord, we ask you, stir our hearts this morning. And be glorified, and we'll give you all the praise for it, Father, and all of the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, seek first the kingdom. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.